This is Ashley Hodge with a Sikkim 365 post-game podcast coming to you after Baylor's 77-65 win over Coastal Carolina in the semifinals of the Myrtle Beach Invitational Tournament. I'm solo tonight, no Grayson. Grayson's out with his parents enjoying a nice dinner. But I wanted to give you just some quick thoughts on this win. First of all, I want to say this. This was definitely a strength and conditioning win. I think you saw at the end of that game that the value of our strength and conditioning program, this Devontae Jones for Coastal Carolina has really impressed me. Terrific guard, having a great season. But at the end of that game, Davion Mitchell just completely dominated him. Devontae looked like he wanted to tap out. He looked like he had no energy. He looked exhausted. Davion's ball pressure just wore him down physically and mentally. And I think really that's the key to why Baylor pulled away and was able to erase the second half deficit and really make this game not that interesting at the end. Let's talk about individual performances. Davion Mitchell was terrific. His defense, I've said this before and I will repeat it, he's probably the best defender that has ever put on a Scott Drew uniform for Baylor under Scott Drew, and maybe the best defender that Baylor's ever had. His physicality, his ability just to stay in front of players, his endurance, his strength, his ability to create steals, to get steals himself. He's special. We got to enjoy him. He is the closest thing to Javon Carter for West Virginia, and I think he's a shoe-in for all Big 12 defense if he can stay healthy and continue to have this level of focus. But let's not forget that he had a pretty good offensive game too. He was able to get six assists today and only one turnover, which was fantastic. And he was also able to get three steals. He was good at the free throw line. He made 5 out of 6 free throws. And he was 2 for 7 from three. He missed his first 4, I believe, and then he made his next 2. And those 2 that he made were really big shots. They were when Baylor was behind, and you know those shots really gave Baylor an emotional lift. He ended up 4 for 13 from the field, so obviously his field goal percentage could be better. But you know the way the guy competes, the way he just played hard on defense, I mean, it's physically exhausting, and he's given this squad everything he has to ensure that Baylor gets a win, and I was just really impressed. And so the beneficiaries of his play were guys like Maceo Teague. Maceo Teague ended up with 21 points today. He was 3 for 10 from 3. He was 6 for 14 from the field. Got some layups. He was able to get to the line 6 times, made all 6 free throws, which was great to see. And he didn't have a turnover, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Pretty good floor game for Maceo Teague. And then the other, you know, Jared Butler and Devontae Bandu also benefited. They got some open looks. Butler, when, again, like Mitchell, when the game was on the line, he made some good plays. He was hindered by foul trouble most of the game. He got 2 early fouls in the first half, and so he sat most of the first half, and he actually sat a decent chunk of the second half as well. But he ended up 4 for 8 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3. Made both of his free throws. He's perfect from the free throw line this year. He had 3 assists, only 1 turnover. So good floor game from Jared Butler as well. And we also need to mention Mark Vidal. Mark Vidal was phenomenal. His energy, his ability to get to loose balls, create steals. He had 3 steals. He had 2 assists. He only had 1 turnover. 9 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds, awesome on the glass like normal. And he scored around the bucket. He had some putbacks, you know, 5 for 7 from the field, very efficient there. So just a terrific game from Mark Vidal in that respect. Just what we've come to expect from him. He dominates the game without scoring much, but, you know, certainly the 10 points and 9 rebounds were a key part of Baylor's victory. And also a good shout out to Matthew Meyer, who came off the bench and had a really efficient couple of minutes. He had a 3-point shot. He was able to do this drive to the rim and try to throw down what would have been an incredibly athletic dunk. Probably should have tried to lay it up or put a floater in there, but he did get fouled, and he went to the foul line, made 1 or 2 free throws. But he also had a really nice floater early in the game. So he had just a nice little offensive burst there, ended up scoring 6 points. Didn't record another stat, but he did cause two turnovers, two travels. He played really good defense early on, and he also played great defense near the end of a shot clock. We'll say the one criticism is he kind of lost focus there at the end and gave up a backdoor dunk after just playing really good defense for about 5 to 6 seconds. So he continues to improve and gave us some really good minutes tonight. Tristan Clark and Freddie Gillespie, not much to show from the stat sheet tonight. They were Freddie was hampered by fouls along with Jared Butler. He ended up with four fouls, and his minutes were limited as a result of that. Only one rebound, and he had three turnovers. He did make his only shot that he took, so he's 1 for 1 from the field. And then Tristan Clark started the game with a really nice move, made a bucket. He had three rebounds, drew a charge or two, but he also had three turnovers. He did have a steal. So, you know, he's just still rusty. We need him to grow up fast. Villanova, we may have to go with a smaller lineup against Villanova. They're very perimeter-oriented. But, you know, Tristan Clark, it would be nice if we have a coming-out party on Sunday when the Bears face what is potentially a Final Four team in Villanova, who's been just looking terrific in this tournament. They took care of business in the first round with relative ease. And then today against Mississippi State, very competitive game. Villanova pulled away and looked really good in the process. So that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bears on Sunday, 4 o'clock on Central Time, 5 o'clock local time for the championship game of the Myrtle Beach Invitational. And I'm sure we'll have a podcast up Sunday morning as with a preview. I'm in Waco right now, so I don't think I'm going to get the preview up for the Villanova game until Sunday morning. But you better believe I'll be locked in on it Sunday. And we'll have some things on the site, you know, to preview that matchup. A really big matchup between two teams that are guard-oriented, and it should be a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, we do want to express our wishes for the young man that got injured. He was having a tremendous game. Ibrima Dibba, I think is how you pronounce it, 6'6 sophomore. He was, you know, really got off to a fast start. He had 6 assists in limited minutes, 4 rebounds, and only scored 2 points, 2 free throws, but was a real difference maker for them out there. And he had a fast break opportunity, and as he went up to jump, Freddie Gillespie was tracking him down, going for the block, and as he went up to jump, he blew out his knee. It certainly looked like an ACL injury. And there were some people asking on the message boards about the interaction between Scott Drew and Cliff Ellis at the end of the game, because Scott Drew asked him that very question. He said, you know, is Dibba okay? And Ellis told him that he blew out his knee. And so Scott Drew's reaction was one of remorse, not for anything that Ellis said to him. You know, he just was showing remorse and disgust at the injury and was, you know, sad that happened. Certainly wasn't Freddie Gillespie's fault. It was a non-contact injury. Freddie followed through and blocked the shot, but then landed on top of him, which got a foul called. I don't really think that should have been a foul in that situation, but I definitely understand, you know, the refs looking at that and calling it a foul because he did come down on top of him. But it was really caused by the awkward explosion off the ground from Dibba. You know, just some other notes. Pretty impressed with just Coastal Carolina's three-point shooting and their aggressiveness in general. They shot the ball really well. They shot it 51% from the floor, and they were 64% from the three-point range, and they made 10 of 15 free throws for 67%. And so Baylor actually missed, they were 9 for 27 from the three-point range, so 33%, and they shot a lower percentage from the field. They did shoot a few more free throws. They were able to score 6 more points at the line than Coastal Carolina. And they also out-rebounded. Coastal Carolina out-rebounded the Bears by 3. So if you heard those stats, you're going, man, how did Coastal Carolina lose? Well, it was the turnovers. And most of those turnovers were caused by Mark Vidal and Davion Mitchell. And I thought Jared Butler's on-the-ball defense was really good at times. So, you know, those three I just want to point out as noticing that their defense was really super in different parts of this game, and it's good to see that. So I think that's about all I have to say for this Sikkim 365 podcast. Hope you all come out to the tailgate tomorrow at the Sikkim 365 trailer in Brazos Parking. We're going to be roasting a pig. Milo is going to have a pig out there. We'll have refreshments from Deep Eddy vodka and Balcones and Tito's and who else do we have? Oh, Three Nations Brewery, craft brewery owned by a Baylor Bear. A couple Baylor Bears are owners of that, so we don't want to forget about that. They've been awesome sponsors for our tailgates. So we have a good time. We watch the games leading up to the 2:30 kickoff against Texas and hope to see many of you out there at the tailgate. Sic 'em Bears.